You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 20th of March 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, you will be very pleased to know that I have with us today my special guest host that we look forward to hearing on a Friday, and we missed last Friday because we had Greatest Britons instead. We do have with us today Mr. Grandpa Lampshade from Texas. Grandpa, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing?
Last week you got Greatest Britons. This week you get Greatest Lampshade.
Greatest Texans.
I'm still not dead from Corona Chan. Kind of almost disappointed to say, you know, Ebola was such a more, like, I could really get into the idea of Ebola, you know, the idea that you're going to collapse and die with blood running out of every orifice on your body. Now that's something I would be willing to self quarantine over. This Corona thing, you know, it's just, for me personally, it's just kind of a big, letdown. I don't know, but we're shutting down the entire economy over it. And I don't know, probably like all of the listeners, I'm really suffering from Corona fatigue, but nonetheless, this is the hot topic of the day. And we'll try to find some funny, entertaining aspects of it, I believe, this week, Sven.
Well, so the Kung Flu hasn't quite got to you yet. Well, just before we get into today's news stories, we actually had Sadiq Khan, who was speaking out the other day and saying viruses don't have a nationality. And of course, there's been all this criticism of Donald Trump for calling it the Chinese flu. And in actual fact, so many viruses are actually named after the country they come from. We got Spanish flu, German measles, Delhi belly, Tunis elbow, which I actually thought was tennis elbow, but it's not, it's Tunis elbow, Senegal warts, Chechen pox, Asian flu, and very recently, Middle East respiratory syndrome. And I have to say thank you to Nihilus for pointing those out. And, you know, to get all upset about where the virus is coming from is absolutely ridiculous. And the sort of people that are doing that are these diversity hires. And we thought what we would do today is we would concentrate on two of these diversity hires, these people that were just hired so that they filled a diversity quota. And that's all well and good when you've just got somebody out there on the front on the desk who's interacting with people that doesn't really actually have to do very much. And that is usually what happens when companies employ diversity. But what we've ended up with now is we have two very important positions that are actually being filled by these diversity hires. The first one is the head of the World Health Organization, which really doesn't give me much faith in the competence of the World Health Organization. And the second one is the American Surgeon General, Jeremy Adams, who again really doesn't give me much confidence in America's response. I guess we could also add to this Jared Kushner, who is Trump's special coronavirus advisor, but he's not really a diversity hire. As I said, the first one is Dr. Tedros Boutros-Ghali, I always think of when I mention his name. I'm not sure where that's from. His actual name is Dr. Ted Adhanom Ghebreyesus. And his qualifications to be the head of the World Health Organization is that he's an Ethiopian politician and academic who has been Director General of the World Health Organization since 2017. He previously served in the government of Ethiopia as Minister of Health from 2005 to 2012, and as Minister of Foreign Affairs from 2012 to 2016. So what has that got to do with medicine? Nothing. Tedros joined the Ministry of Health in 1986 after graduating from the University of Asmara. As Minister of Health, Tedros received praise for a number of innovative and system-wide health reforms that substantially improved access to health services and key outcomes. What might those health reforms be, I hear you ask? Among them were hiring and training roughly 40,000 female health extension workers, cutting infant mortality from 123 deaths per 1,000 live births in 2006 to just 88 in 2011. So basically, he just employed more people. That was his brainwave. That was the amazing, incredible thing that Dr. Ted did that managed to cut down the infant mortality in Ethiopia was simply by employing more people. And of course, he gets brownie points because the extra people he employed were actually women. In July 2009, he was elected board chair of the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis and Malaria for a two-year term. Tedros was elected as Director General of the World Health Organization by the World Health Assembly on 23rd of May 2017. He took office for a five-year term on 1st of July 2017. He is the public face of the WHO during the 2019 to 2020 coronavirus pandemic. As such, his reputation and that of the WHO in international media has increased substantially during the outbreak, with his press conferences gaining widespread attention. Well, I will agree. The international media think it's wonderful that we've got this black guy in charge of the World Health Organization. But the fact is, the average IQ in Ethiopia is just 69. And when you look at the distribution of the curve with IQ, whatever that average is, the most intelligent, most brainy, most competent people of that ethnicity will be 15 points higher than that, which means that Dr. Ted, if he is right at the very top and one of the most brainiest Ethiopians out there, his IQ will still only be 85. And a white man at the top of his IQ will be 115 to 120. A massive number of points higher than this Ethiopian. And we've got him in charge of this outbreak. I mean, this is terrifying when you think about it, because the guy has difficulties just reading out the lines from a piece of paper. That's probably just about, you know, the best that he can do is read from a piece of paper. He's not going to be somebody that is going to come out with any solutions to this. And this is the danger of these diversity quotas, is you end up with people in very, very important places that just don't actually have the qualifications, and they're just not competent to actually do what we need them to do. What do you make of Dr. Ted, Grandpa?
Well, you see, in clown world, your reputation increases substantially, not because you've accomplished anything, but because you're on TV. I mean, they're outright saying here that because he's going on TV and reading a piece of paper in front of him, his reputation and that of the World Health Organization is going through the roof. Not that they've actually accomplished anything. It's because he's appearing on TV. And this is, you know, this is clown world. The narrative is always the most important. As much as they're whipping up this corona thing that we're all going to just, I guess, die from it or whatever, it's amazing because the narrative is always still the most important thing, not people's health. The narrative is always number one. Everything else after that is secondary. And case in point with this coronavirus is it's just an observable fact that if you're Chinese, Iranian, Italian, apparently, if you're some of these races here, it's obviously much more deadly for you than if you're, say, an average white American. Apparently, it doesn't affect Africans much. You know, all these other races and sub-races are affected in a different way. And instead of just like being logical and coming out with this information and telling people, you know, hey, look, you know, this is what we've got. Now, if you're Italian or if you're Iranian or if you're of Chinese descent, then you probably need to be more concerned. But instead, they are trying to put this one size fits all blanket because when you boil it down to it, they cannot admit there's racial differences because the narrative is maintained for years that race doesn't even exist. It's a social construct. And so we have to pretend that everybody is cookie cutter the same. There is no racial differences. But Corona-chan disagrees. Corona-chan says, no, there are racial differences. And if you're Chinese, Iranian, or apparently Italian, you know, it's more serious for you. And instead of, again, accentuating that truth, we get this, well, we're going to put all of the statistics together and come up with the sum average and tell everybody that's what you need to be concerned about. This guy, yeah, I mean, this guy isn't a, you look at this guy on TV, it's like, I wouldn't go to him for anything. I mean, you know, not even like a minor deal. I broke my arm. I'm going to go to this guy. I mean, it's sort of like you can call him a doctor, but where's that confidence level? It's like you had the plane crash, you know, and my first reaction was, well, it's Ethiopia Airlines. You know, I mean, they were flying those 777 MAX planes in America, and the U.S. pilots were managing it okay. They were doing all right with it. But then you get on Ethiopia Airlines and you're going to crash and die. So, you know, that highlights this difference here. And now we're talking about this worldwide Coronachon pandemic. And so basically, yeah, just like the 777 MAX, if you're flying Ethiopia Airlines, you're going to die. So, yeah, enjoy the ride.
Well, the next one, as I said, is basically his only qualification to be in the job is that he's black, is Surgeon General Jeremy Adams. Adams attended Choptacon High School and the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, through a full tuition Meyerhofer Scholarship, a grant dedicated to minority students. So that was his qualification to actually get on this scholarship. He was black. A grant dedicated to minority students interested in the sciences. Note, not good at the sciences, but interested in. Adams received his Bachelor of Science in Biochemistry and his Bachelor of Arts in Biopsychology. He studied in the Netherlands and Zimbabwe. And I wonder what the education is like in Zimbabwe. I haven't actually looked up the IQ level there, but I suspect it's very similar to the Ethiopian average of 69. He also received a Master of Public Health degree from the University of California, Berkeley in 2000, with a focus on chronic disease prevention. Well, he hasn't done very well at preventing this disease from becoming chronic, has he? After 2 years in private practice at Ball Memorial Hospital, Adams was named Assistant Professor of Anesthesiology at Indiana University. And he was pulled out of practicing just as quick as possible and given a role pen pushing. He has written several academic papers and book chapters, including chapters in Anesthesia Student Survival Guide, a case-based approach, and an editorial in the American Journal of Public Health, Are Pain Management Questions in Patient Satisfaction Surveys Driving the Opioid Epidemic? That's right. It's the questions in the pain surveys that has caused half the white working class in America to become addicted to opioids. On June the 29th, 2017, President Donald Trump nominated Adams as the next Surgeon General of the United States, with no experience whatsoever, apart from just writing these two articles, basically. He was confirmed to the position on August 3rd, 2017, and upon his confirmation, Adams said that addressing the opioid epidemic along with untreated mental illness would be two of his major priorities, neither of which he's succeeded in doing anything about. In September 2018, Adams began a campaign along with other public health officials to promote seasonal flu vaccinations. And in February 2020, Adams was appointed to the task force for dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, the average IQ of the African-American is 85. So if he was at the top of the range there, then that would mean he was actually at 100. But as I said, white people at the top of their range are 120, 130. So we haven't got the best man for the job here. What we've got is a diversity hire. We've got somebody that was basically elevated to the position simply because he is black. And as we will see, since he's been in that office, and his way of dealing with the coronavirus is exactly how you would expect. But before we get into that, Grandpa, you obviously, you're more aware of what this Surgeon General is like because you must see him regularly on the television over there in America. So what do you make of your new Surgeon General? Are you confident in his capabilities in putting a stop to the coronavirus pandemic?
Only white people are going to pronounce that name, Jeremy, Sven. That's Jerome. I guarantee you, that name Jerome. That ain't no Jeremy, man. That's Jerome, man. He gets, I refuse to recognize any Surgeon General except C. Everett Koop. I don't know if you remember C. Everett Koop. He was the Surgeon General back in the day, and he looked like a ship's captain. Arr, you know, kind of had like a beard. Look, he's kind of. Who remembers any other Surgeon General? I don't. I remember C. Everett Koop. Yeah, you know, I mean, again, these are political appointments. It's just like the World Health Organization guy. The Surgeon General doesn't actually do anything. Goes out there and reads a script. These are political. He's not spearheading anything. He like you say, it's a diversity hire. He stands up there and everybody says, oh, look, you know, we're all going to be saved because Jerome done been up there, you know, and he knows his sheep, man. So, yeah, that's all it is. And it's just it's more of the same. Again, the narrative. It just highlights that the narrative is really more important than any actual, like, getting down to the brass tacks, any actual what kind of action are we going to take? Well, we can't take any action. First, we got to think about what kind of people we're going to put at the forefront. And we have to put all of these other races up here to reinforce the notion that you know, everybody's the same. There is no racial differences. Everything's the same. And again, if they were serious about addressing this disease, they would get down to the fact that it affects some races much more harshly than it does other races. And I keep coming back to that point because it's literally a matter of life and death. You wouldn't want to tell people, you know, if you got, like, say, an Iranian community in your country, I mean, you won't sit there and tell them, like, act as though it's not any more of a danger to them than it is to the white population in your country, because that's a lie. I mean, they're going to be, obviously it affects them in a more serious manner. But again, that the narrative comes first. So they pretend that everybody's the same. And this is just, once again, this is just a highlight of that. You've got to have a black Surgeon General. You've got to have this Ethiopian head of the World Health Organization. This is the same thing as when you turn on the TV and, like, blacks are 13% of the population, but they're apparently 90% of the population in all of these TV commercials. And none of the blacks in the TV commercial are acting like blacks, you know, in real life. They're acting like white people. They just inserted black people into those roles. Somehow that's supposed to not be insulting. If I was black, it would be insulting. You know, they put all these black people on TV on these commercials and they're like, oh, look, we put more blacks on there. But they make them like caricatures. They go around and do white people things and not black people things. You know, if you're going to put blacks in the commercial, have them act like the actual black community instead of just essentially taking white roles and sticking black people in there. And that's what you have with these medical positions, these positions of authority. They're basically white people roles, and they stick a black character in there and say, see, yay, diversity.
Well, that would be racist, Grandpa, if they had black people actually fulfilling black people roles on the TV. I mean, we would be told that that was stereotyping. You know, I'm still seeing news reports where they're saying, you know, it's a complete mystery why Africa only has 3 coronavirus cases. It's a complete mystery. They're investigating to see whether it's the hot weather, but oh no, because India has hot weather. And they've got a problem with it. And it's just should just be so obvious to everyone that it's because they are a different race. You know, you look at the Iranians. The Iranians have got somebody dying every 10 minutes. And then you look at the death rates in Germany, and it's totally different. You look at them in China. You look at them in Italy. I mean, it's basically showing that there are huge differences, even between the, you know, the small subsets of white people, basically, let alone the huge differences between black, oriental, and Caucasian. Well, let's have a look at how the Surgeon General has been responding to this outbreak. The Surgeon General appealed to Kylie Jenner on Thursday morning to tell her millennial and Gen Z followers to stay at home as the country frantically tries to fight coronavirus, after new data emerged which suggests young people are far more vulnerable to the deadly pandemic than previously thought. In an appearance on Good Morning America, Surgeon General Jerome Adams said the country needed social media influencers like Jenner to use their platforms to get through to young people who are not all heeding government advice. It came after disturbing photographs and videos emerged of teenagers and young adults flocking to the beaches of Florida for the spring break, gathering in groups and twerking, despite the entire world being on the brink of shutdown and thousands dying with no cure on the horizon. Well, yes, I mean, I do find it rather alarming seeing groups of youngsters twerking. They obviously have no idea of what they actually look like. It's not something any young white girl should ever do. But is this a level of the Surgeon General now? Instead of actually suggesting medical solutions to this, or suggesting quarantine, or shutting down flights from other countries, or castigating President Trump for not quarantining China right from the beginning, he says we need more social media influencers. And these are the sort of ideas that are going to occur to people like Dr. Ted and Dr. Jerome. We need more social media influencers, because that's just about the level that they're at, you know, just using social media. And that's it. What do you make of the Surgeon General's solution to the coronavirus problem here, Grandpa? Getting hold of social media influencers.
Well, what I find more outrageous is, why in the hell is Kylie Jenner a celebrity? I mean, seriously, why in the hell? Why does anybody give a shit? So we got our Black Surgeon General pleading with people to take their medical advice, I guess, from some thought. I mean, yeah, I have no idea why this person's a celebrity. It's just it's just all part of the clown show, I guess. You know, well, here's the you know, here's a big influencer in your society. Yeah, if you have a big influencer in society, you're supposed to be this advanced modern society. And one of your big influencers is Kylie Jenner. This should be a red flag that there's something wrong. There's something wrong in your society. The media is all outraged. Anybody that is not going along with the hysteria, and I mean, everybody's got to make their own decision how seriously you think this is, and how whipped up you want to get. I saw a media person the other day on the news, and he was saying that anybody in the country that isn't basically getting whipped up into a hysteria about it like the media wants you to do is, quote unquote, grossly irresponsible. You're a bad person if you're not going along with this, if you're not getting whipped up into a hysteria. It's kind of like they came out with these numbers and talking about, you know, how we're all going to die from coronavirus, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know, oh, what do we do? You know, this is horrible. Well, and then the head of, I believe it was the CDC, one of Trump's guys, so, you know, he comes out, this doctor, and he says, look, you know, if you're under the age of 60, your survival rate is like over 99%. So the fatality rate is a fraction of a single percent. So then everybody is like, oh, so basically this is mostly going to kill the boomers. Well, let's go to the beach. So, you know, well, now they didn't expect that reaction. So now they're like, no, it could kill you too. You've got to get home and isolate yourself through all of this and be in a panic and be freaked out. Yeah. Again, it's all clown world. You've got your diversity Surgeon General who knows absolutely nothing about this virus besides what he's reading off of a script, appealing to somebody that I have no idea why they're even a celebrity to tell their countless followers. Why they have countless followers, I don't know. I guess it's people that are interested in what outfit she's wearing today to please be freaked out. Lock yourself in your house, and whatever you do, don't go outside, because you're all going to die. Only you're not going to die, because the head of the task force here in the U.S. says that, you know, if you're under 60, you're probably not going to die. It's this all mixed up, scrambled message. It's all script up, mixed up, scrambled nonsense. And again, they expect everybody to take this serious, but it's obvious they themselves aren't really handling it in a serious manner. Again, if they were, it would be, well, if you're Italian descent, if you're genetically of Iranian descent or Chinese descent, you should be more concerned. You know, they would be getting down to the brass tacks of this, but they're not. They're not. Instead, they're just trying to whip up this constant hysteria about this thing. And I laugh when people are like, oh, well, this is going to be used to enact martial law. And it's like, why do they need to enact martial law? All they have to do is put people on TV and say, lock yourself in your house and don't leave. And people will essentially arrest themselves, go in their house and not leave and sit there like good, obedient livestock. Why would they need martial law? They just have to tell you what to do. Everybody herds along and does what they're supposed to do.
Well, it does seem that is what is going on here. And the boomers have got totally freaked out by all the youngsters twerking on the beach. Because the next piece here, it says, startling new data released on Wednesday night shows 29% of the first 2,500 cases of coronavirus in the US were people aged between 20 and 44. Of that number, 20% were hospitalized and 12% needed to be put in intensive care units. And an almost 55% of the cases were all under the age of 65. That frightening data goes against the previously held notion many young people relied upon to not worry about the virus, that they were immune to it and that it only seriously affected the old and sickly. Well, in actual fact, that doesn't disprove the fact that it does disproportionately affect the sickly, doesn't it? I would dare say that of that number, that whatever it is, 29% that were actually between the ages of 20 and 44, they probably had diseases. They probably had some kind of comorbidity, some kind of disability that was affecting their ability to fight against this. In actual fact, there's a picture that accompanies this, and it's talking about lots of members of one particular family that have all died from this or all caught the coronavirus, and they're all obese. So there are other reasons as to why people under the age of 44 in America are getting this, and I would suggest that obesity is probably one of the larger ones. Grandpa, what do you make of this new data here?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Okay, well, let's factor in, you know, and it's not just diseases, because you could sit here and say, oh, well, you have disease. Okay, there are all sorts of things that can affect your immune system. We already know we have an opioid epidemic. Guess what? That doesn't help your immune system. That weakens your immune system. If you're on drugs, if you're addicted to these drugs, then your immune system is going to be weakened. You're weakening your entire body. Of course, you're weakening your immune system. So if you're on drugs, if you're obese, if you have diabetes, we have diabetes basically epidemic in this country. We have all these. We have kids now that have diabetes, kids in kindergarten, big fat kid, and he has diabetes. So, yeah, if you have diabetes, guess what? You're not going to have the strongest immune system in the world. If you're going, you know, obviously you have people that have cancer. If they're undergoing cancer treatments, those cancer treatments destroy your immune system. You know, the homosexual community with their grids and the things they do to their, you know, that affects their system. You know, they're going to be compromised. Yes, this is going to affect them and be more of a, you know, you're going to be more harsh consequences. However, if you have a healthy immune system, you don't have, you know, you're more or less in shape, your immune system's, you know, up and running good, and you're in good health. Yeah, this thing is not going to, you know, is not likely to be very serious for you. I mean, and you have these conflicting messages. You know, they keep coming out. Like I said, they come out with this because, again, the reaction was like what I just stated earlier. Oh, well, it's mostly going to affect boomers, and let's go to the beach. So then they have to whip up these statistics. But then you have President Trump come out the other day and point out that, like, okay, so 200 people have died from this, a little over 200 people, I think it is right now, you know, where 20,000, I think, or something like that has died from the flu. You know, he said, keep that in mind. So you have this conflicting narrative, you know, oh, you're all going to die. We have to shut everything down, lock yourself in your house. And then you have the president himself pointing out that, you know, a fraction of the people that have died from the flu have died from this virus. Doesn't mean that it's not there. I'm not saying it's absolutely nothing to be concerned about, but the fallout from it is concerning. The fallout is going to be much more widespread, I believe, than the virus itself. They're already tanking the economy. And you've got people, they got rid of our manufacturing jobs. They pushed people in the service industry. That means, like, you have lots of people depending on tips as, say, a waitress. Well, they've shut all the restaurants down. So you're a waitress living off your tips. Now you have no job and you can't go get another job because they shut all of the restaurants down. So what are people supposed to do? Sit in their houses and starve to death, I guess, because, you know, what do you do? Sit in your house and they shut your electricity off because you can't pay the electric bill. So what are you supposed to do? They act like they're doing these great things for everybody, but in the end, the outcome of them whipping up this hysteria is going to be more far-reaching to the general population than the virus itself.
Well, Grandpa, you're actually making it seem like there really is little else that people can do other than go and twerk on the beach. Now, Dr. Adams made an impassioned plea on Thursday saying, "I have a 15 and 14-year-old, and the more I tell them not to do something, the more they want to do it. What I really think we need to do was get our influencers, Kevin Durant, Donovan Mitchell, we need to get Kylie Jenner and social media's influencers out there in helping folks understand this is serious. People are dying out there. We have data emerging from Italy that suggests young people may be at higher risk than we previously thought. But think about your grandfather. The fact you're spreading disease that could ultimately be what kills them, he said. And I mean, that just sounds like a black guy. I mean, he could be a pop star rather than a doctor. The United States is only around 11 days behind Italy in the growth of new cases, and officials are desperate to avoid a similar scenario unfolding there. There are increasing calls for President Trump to issue a national shutdown, but he is resisting at all costs in order to keep the few businesses open that can remain open and allow people to feed themselves. Now the government is telling everyone to stay at home for 15 days, fervently wash their hands, and avoid coming into contact with anyone who may be susceptible to the virus. Do you think this is really the reason for this, is that Donald Trump wants people to feed themselves? He doesn't want the nanny state to step in there. What do you make of Dr. Adams' impassioned pleas here and Trump's response to the problem?
Well, if you look closely, you can see the switchback. You see, young people need to be concerned and freaked out about this like we're telling them to be. Look at this data from Italy, not the data from the U.S. We're going to switch over now and we're going to look at the countries that people are more harshly, because again, they're genetically different than, say, Germans, or they're cherry picking here. So they switch here to the Italy example. Look, a higher percentage of young people in Italy have, won't they look at a higher percentage? What percentage of young people in Africa have it? Oh, because that would be like, oh yeah, don't freak out at all, but you're not African, but you're not Italian either. So they cherry pick that, but then they go back to, oh, well, think about your elderly grandparents or your it's back to the old people thing. You know, so they're using two different things here to try to present the same narrative. It comes back to, if you're elderly, this is going to be more serious for you than if you're not. But they, you know, since young people don't care about that, they cherry pick the Italian data to try to, you know, to get people whipped up in that. I would be, you know, I would think as a parent, he would be more disturbed that his kids want to listen to Kylie Jenner more than what he says. I would be kind of feeling I would be kind of blackpilled about that, pun intended, if I was him. But whatever. No, they're just cherry picking this to try to once again convince people. And the idea that Trump wants to, you know, keep a few businesses open so people don't starve to death, and that's like a negative thing, you know. That's a negative thing. Trump, of all the nerves, that awful orange man, he wants to keep a few businesses open. That way it allowed people to feed themselves versus sitting in the dark, locked in their house, starving to death, I suppose. I don't even know how they try to frame that as some sort of negative thing.
Well, I have to admit, I've never heard of any of those names that he puts out there as these social media influencers. I mean, Dr. Adams told the entire nation to presume they have the virus and handle others as if they do too. I mean, do people normally handle other people? You normally sort of handle packages, not other people. In America, most of our authority lies at the state level. Some states have been really aggressive, some not so much. That's why the president put out the guidelines earlier this week to say, look, America, everyone needs to hold off non-essential travel. Everyone needs to stay home from work if they can. Everyone has to be in gatherings of 10 or less. If we all do that across the country, then we can have our trajectory like China. Really? Is that all China did? Good news out of China last night. No new reported domestic cases, Dr. Adams said on Thursday. Every model you have has a best case scenario and a worst case scenario. Italy looks like the worst case scenario. That's why we are ringing the alarm. That's why we are telling Americans to take this seriously. But we have a better case scenario. China is reassuring. China shows us that if we do this, then in 6 to 8 weeks, we will hit our peak and start to come back down again. While I've got you, did you see I sent out a safe hands challenge to you all on Twitter? We need to make sure people understand right now that the two best things you can do to protect your community are good hygiene and social distancing. Stay off the beaches. We've got 300 million plus people in this country. Little things you do add up to big things over time. If you are negligent, if you don't have good hygiene, if you go out and spread disease, then it can add up over time, but good behaviours add up over time. I want everyone to act as if you have the virus, he warned. I mean, if you look at China, they were wearing masks. They were kept indoors. The police were literally boarding up the blocks of flats so that people couldn't get out. They had drones overhead following everyone. I mean, the main thing was that everybody was wearing a mask. They had pop-up hospitals. They quarantined whole cities instantly. America is doing none of that. He's doing the typical black thing of, if you have a dream, you can make it come true. If you just dream that China did this, if we just think positive, lads, you know, let's just think positive. China managed to beat it. We'll be able to beat it too, without actually taking any of the steps that China did. That is literally what he's doing here. It's the same thing that you see, you know, these blacks that ever get anywhere, the same thing that they say, oh yes, if you can just dream it, it's possible. No, you actually have to put the work in there to do something about this. I mean, this is not reassuring to hear the Surgeon General saying all we have to do is think of a better case scenario and just wash our hands and it will all get better in 8 weeks. I mean, that's what he's saying, isn't it?
Well, I thought the Chinese were the evil communists that boogeyman, but apparently they've got the right idea. We should be following the example. The better case scenario is the evil no freedoms and democracy Chinese model or something. The thing they won't point out is the actions, like you referred to, that the Chinese took. You can't do that here, and not because of my freedoms and my democracy, but because of my diversity. In China, they view themselves, you know, they're more or less homogenous, and they view themselves as a community. And of course, part of this is just they're wired that way. They have more of a, kind of like a hive mind than other races do. So the government can come in and say, well, we're locking this down, and the people will accept it because it's basically understood that the good of the community as a whole is an ingrained, it's important, it's ingrained in these people. Imagine if you tried to take the Chinese approach of locking down neighborhoods and not letting people out in American cities. We have blacks. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to sit here and go, oh, well, this be best for the community, so we're going to chill here? No. No, if you put the National Guard or the police out there and said your community, your housing project tested positive for corona, so we're shutting it down and nobody can leave, it's going to be a war zone. It's going to be a war zone in about 5 minutes. That's the reality of the situation. Sit here and praise the Chinese action on it when it's absolutely not even a viable solution. And actually, if you actually took the steps, like you say, they're just doing wishful thinking here. We could do like the Chinese, like all the Chinese did was go buy toilet paper and hand sanitizer. That's how they cured this. No, they locked down the entire city. It was the U.S. that went in and flew people out of the quarantine zone and brought them here. You know, we acted like that didn't even happen. But if you actually took the Chinese actions, absolutely undoable in the U.S. because we have the diversity. You cannot lock down neighborhoods. You're not going to be able to lock down cities in the U.S. like they did in China. Once again, it's the diversity thing in action here. And it's just all, as you've pointed out, this is just a wishful thinking approach. And it completely ignores the fact that this virus affects different races and sub-races differently. That's the reality. If they were taking a realistic approach, that's what they would be telling people. But they won't, because the narrative is more important than the virus itself. And yet they want everybody to run around and act like this is this huge deal. But their actions and words tell you that they don't really view it as a big deal. Even if they do, they still think maintaining the everybody is the same narrative is more important.
Well, you know, the other difference with China is that they have an authoritarian dictatorship. And I know everyone's getting worried and saying, oh, the government's going to bring in all these new laws. But I think what is actually going to happen is that Trump is going to suspend the election. And he will then be the dictator. He will then be the emperor. It will have been memed into life that Trump is the great American dictator. And I think the left are going to be pretty annoyed at that when that happens. But I'll make that prediction right now that we will see that happen over the next 6 months. Trump will cancel the next election and be ruling by decree. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with a special guest, hopefully, for more of the Daily Nationalist for you. So until then, God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.